Welcome to episode six.
Episode six. Wow. We're flying through them.
It's madness. So we put a bit of a poll up this week, didn't we?
It went very well. It went very big.
We had people get involved.
We had over 100 responses over three platforms.
Which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So the overall stats, the scores and the doors?
Hard to tell. Facebook people prefer fridge.
Yeah.
Not going to generalise, but Facebook people tend to be a bit older.
Yeah. Same kind of person that uses Facebook. Yeah. More than
people that put their ketchup in the fridge, apparently. Yeah. Twitter was the opposite.
Yeah. Younger generation.
Yeah.
A bit more carefree.
Generalising. Extremely.
Yeah.
Donald Trump uses Facebook. Twitter, remember.
I wish he wouldn't.
But I thought the main thing I took from it was how much people actually care.
Yeah.
I was saying I heard more debate and argument over where ketchup should be kept than I have about our upcoming general election, which is...
We really do deal with the big questions on this podcast.
Yep.
And that's all that anyone really cares about. having said that, I mean, last week, I was firmly on board with Cupboard.
Yeah, you were right at the time.
And I got my mum's opinion, and that's where I've been brought up. She keeps it in the cupboard. However, recent findings have shown that on the back of a ketchup bottle, it does say, once opened, store in the fridge.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's changed... Nothing, in my opinion.
So you're saying that the ketchup companies are wrong?
Well, I'm saying I'm not going to change my whole life based on what it says in the back of the label. Because
I've
survived so far.
But hang on, so you're saying that ketchup is your whole life?
No, but my whole life regarding that one very specific situation.
Right. So a small part of your life. You're not going to change a very small part of your life?
No.
Now based on new facts?
No.
Okay. Well, I've learned something about you today. Whereas I'm probably more inclined to change to putting it in the fridge.
It shows me that you're a sheep.
I just like to be on the safe side. You know, they know the product. They make it. Why else would they say that? Why?
Cover their backs.
From
off ketchup.
Yeah, but if the ketchup wouldn't go off, if it was kept in the cupboard.
Yeah, but it will, but presumably just not as quick.
Yeah, but they would then say, like, store in the cupboard and consume within 5 weeks. Like, they would put a time on it and then say, well, if you didn't consume it then, it's your fault.
So why does it matter if it's open or not? If it's nothing to do with going off?
No, I'm saying it will go off, but I'm saying that they would put like a time limit on it to say consume.
Whereas it's invincible if it's...
No, I think it does say like consume within like 8 weeks or something. Yeah, how quick are you getting through a bottle of ketchup?
Not in 2 months.
No, I didn't say that. I don't think I would.
No. Probably two bottles a year.
Yeah, I'd say probably the same. Yeah. Anyway, there we go. But what about other sources, like mayo? Because mayo belongs in the fridge.
Yeah, mayo is in the fridge.
But having said that, you find mayo in the shop, not in the refrigerated section.
But then that's before it's opened, going by this logic.
Yeah, but like I was saying before, the logic of it being open, they'll put like a time limit on it. They would say...
But
like,
they don't.
Ah. I don't know, I've not actually looked at the back of a bottle of mayo.
Yeah.
See, these are the big questions that need answers.
I don't know if they do.
It's just annoying you.
Yeah.
But what about, like, barbecue? Brown sauce?
Let's give up.
Well, we found something out today. I don't know what we found out, but we have found something out.
That people care.
People care about ketchup.
Yeah. And not Boris Johnson or his counterparts. What's the other one? Jeremy Corbyn.
Jezza, yeah.
Or the other one.
Sturgeon.
Yeah. Lib Dem leader?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. There you go.
I saw something the other day. It's quite harsh. It's like, people like her less every time they see her. That was a genuine thing.
She should keep off TV.
That's what Paul said. They like her less every time. Imagine that. Imagine that being a headline about you.
In politics or just their family?
Didn't specify. Didn't specify.
Yeah. They were the only people they surveyed.
Yeah. But yeah, that I thought was pretty hard.
Wow. I don't know. I don't think I've seen her, actually.
Yeah, I've seen her once.
And you quite liked her.
No.
Don't see her again.
Yeah, exactly.
don't go again.
It will diminish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I've never heard that about a person. How is that possible?
I honestly don't know, but it is really demoralising. If that was said about me, I would not go out.
No, because everyone loves you if they've never met you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Every time they see her, they like her less.
That's horrible.
That's politics.
That's terrible.
That's politics. Why are we talking about politics? We don't talk about this kind of serious stuff on here.
I don't think we've been talking about serious stuff.
We never have.
Yeah, but I don't think this is even serious.
It's not really, yeah, but
we've vaguely touched on whether the Lib Dem leader's family likes her less.
I mean, you could understand that statement about Boris Johnson, couldn't you?
Well,
yeah, you could. The first time you saw him,
he was fun.
It was a bit of a joke.
Yeah, he wasn't prime minister.
Right? But yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, gradually, the more you've seen him, you're like, oh, he's funny, but he's, you know, I don't really trust him.
Mm.
And then now you're like, oh.
First thing I saw Donald Trump, he was in Home Alone too. So. You know?
Yeah. Was that before The Simpsons?
I don't think he was actually in that.
Well, you know what I mean? There was
I've seen him in cartoon form.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I don't know the time frame.
Well, he isn't. Yeah, he's in the hotel, isn't he?
Yeah, he helps Kevin find where he's gone.
Yeah, he does. Seems like a nice guy,
lovely guy.
What happened?
It's in his hotel.
Oh, is it?
I think it's in Trump Towers. That's why it's a thing.
Ah, yeah. It makes sense.
Because it's funny because he meets the owner, you see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Should watch Home Alone soon.
What?
Need to watch Home Alone soon.
Yeah, what, give it 6 days.
Yeah, not far away.
Mm. The 1st of December, Christmas begins.
30 days, it's November, yeah.
Is it?
There's 30 days in November. Do you know the rhyme?
Yeah, I do
know. Or do you have to go through it all?
You have to go through it all the way through.
I managed to fast forward it.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's a skill.
Because it rhymes with other ones.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's clever.
Yeah.
Life hack. Right, well, there we go. I don't think we should go into Christmas again because we had a full episode on that.
Yeah, that wasn't really Christmas. That was just me.
Yeah, but Home Alone is a Christmas thing.
Yeah, but I'm just
saying. Nobody's watching that mid-June.
No.
No, exactly. So.
Anyway.
Yeah. Getting back on topic.
What's next? Anything happened this week?
This week, lots of things happened this week, but something big happened today.
Oh, what's that?
I booked my flights to Malaysia.
Oh, yeah, because, well, the listeners won't know, most of them.
That's true.
You're leaving us for, like, what was it, 6 months or something?
Yeah, undecided. Mm. Undecided. I've only bought a one-way ticket.
Wow, could be forever.
Well, I've only got a six-month visa, so...
Maximum 6 months.
Yeah.
So... What happens with the podcast when we're away?
Well, we're going to record ahead of time.
Yeah.
A load of episodes.
And we also might be able to
do
some sort of Skype thing.
That'd be interesting to see.
That would be
cool. How that goes.
Some wicked Malaysia stories.
Oh, don't you worry. I'm sure there'll be loads.
Doing your exams in Malaysia. How fun.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the one thing... You know, when you've booked your flight to go somewhere.
Yeah.
But there's the kind of, okay, that's out of the way, but it's already the beginning.
That's exciting.
It is exciting, but there's already the stress.
Ah.
You feel the stress already of, right, how am I getting to the airport?
Yeah.
What, you know, like, that's the whole...
Even before that, did I print these? Did I print these passes?
Yeah, or am I going to get the online, the phone one?
What
if my phone dies? I've had that stress so many times.
Yeah, airports are incredibly stressful.
I don't think there's anywhere on earth quite like them that brings that level of stress
to completely normal humans.
Yeah, people who don't feel stress in any other situation
lose their mind.
Normally, they're really level-headed. they can get through life. You know, they don't worry about these kind of things. But as soon as they step foot, or as soon as they're, you know, 24 hours, I'd say, in the build-up to the airport, they're starting to think, okay. So we've got to be at the airport. How long beforehand? You know, this kind of stuff.
Yeah, how early did I get there? Mm. How early did you go?
Well, if I'm going by myself,
That's the thing, because traveling by yourself is a very different experience. Oh, it's
so much better. Like, I mean, I love traveling with my family.
Yeah.
Like, going on holiday with my family, but...
You'd rather go on separate planes.
Oh, imagine how much easier
that would be. You'd rather go separate days.
Yeah, imagine how much easier that would be. You don't have to, like you know, when you're through all security and stuff, and that you're sitting around waiting for your flight to be announced, and then, like, one person, I'm just going to go to the toilet quickly, or I'm going to go to the shops, and then all of a sudden, that's when, like, the announcement comes through, we're starting to board, and I was like, right, where are they gone? Wait, that's our plane, come on. that's the stress of it.
Let's go and move to another part of the airport where we'll then sit for half an hour, just so we can see the screen that says, like, wherever you're going on it. Yeah. Well, how early are you getting there?
So, by myself, I would, see, also this also depends on how big the flight is for me, like, how long the journey is.
Why should that matter?
So if I'm just going on like a short kind of internal flight, so if I'm flying down to like, say, Southampton, uh-huh. like an hour flight, nice uh-huh. and easy,
uh-huh.
I'll probably get there like hour and a half max beforehand. So you get through security, baggage, etc. in half an hour, no problem. You've only got an hour to sit around.
I don't know why that.
But yeah, because you need more preparation time for a bigger flight.
Preparation time where? In the
airport.
Super drug.
Yeah, but like, what do I need? No, it does. Because if you're going on a long haul,
the only difference is if you're putting bags through the check-in versus if you're just going hand luggage. Because if you're just going hand luggage, you can just fly through. But it's the thought of standing in queues.
Yeah, but no, I think that if you're going on a long haul flight, you want to make sure you've got everything you need for flight, right?
Like what?
So you're getting your snacks on early. That takes longer because you think, okay, so I'm going to want this now. But if it's a 7-hour flight, you're going to be wanting different things at different points of the flight. Laugh as much as you want. It's true. I think people will agree with me here that you might want some sweets at some point. You need sweets for takeoff.
Uh-huh.
And you want maybe a sandwich later on. You might want some crisps.
Oh, yeah, because you don't want airport. You're not buying
stuff on there. No one's made of money.
No. £6 for a soggy panini.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're buying different things, but you've got to plan it. If it takes longer, you might want to get a book. I mean, I've never bought a book in the airport, but people might.
People go with their books, surely.
Yeah, I mean.
But you do see people lots of books in.
Yeah, I'm wondering who's buying them. One thing I'm always curious about is when they're selling suitcases in the airport, but past the point where you've gone and checked through your suitcase.
Even before. Surely no one's turning up.
Oh, sugar, I forgot my suitcase.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I've never
really understood. Odd.
There's one of them in Edinburgh as you go in.
Yeah.
There's also one as you go. Who's coming through and going, we'll get a new one. So like, A, what are they carrying at the point of entry? Have they just got
carry bags?
Loads of carry bags. And then what's making that decision? Or have they got an old tatty suitcase and they go, I'll change it. But then...
What do you do with the other one?
Can you be bothered? Yeah, because you don't want to leave that unattended.
Yeah.
The whole place will be shut down.
That's true. I was going to say, you just leave it by a bin somewhere, but that's right. And leave the luggage unattended.
Empty suitcase. Yeah. I bought a new one and... maybe they've got a facility for that.
So it's like a swap suit.
But then who can be bothered repacking?
And what happens if you buy one that's not quite as big as one you've got? And you can't fit everything in.
Yeah, because you can't test it out. No. Sorry, can I just pack this before I buy it?
Yeah, it's like a try before you buy. So, yeah. How long are you going to the airport then?
I'm not sure. It's normally dictated by whoever I'm going with.
Yeah.
I kind of just leave it to other people.
Yeah.
I'm the one that's kind of like...
The laid back.
Yeah.
So who is the one that's calling the shots in this situation?
Well, if I'm with Becky, then I'm doing it myself because...
You take control.
We'd miss it. We'd still be here. I don't know, we try and not do the whole putting the bag through checkout unless it's absolutely necessary, because we can't be bothered with the bit at the other end. With those,
that's a weird thing, isn't it,
the little merry-go-round?
Yeah, that's really weird when you think about it.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a just showing off everyone's bags. Is this yours?
It's
not yours.
You could just take anything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Who's stopping? If you got there early, pick it up straight off there, walk out with confidence.
The ultimate.
Nobody's gonna be thinking, that's mine. No, he's pretty confident. He's walking off with it.
If you get there early enough, it's a nice buggy that. That's always first to go out.
The buggies and the skis, they come off.
The skis.
Yeah, the big items, they come off.
Yeah. Okay. Never noticed any. I don't think I've ever been anywhere where skis have come out. Sometimes like golf clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But buggies are always first. And then
it'd be weird though if you'd
they normally that. Send like one bag round.
Yeah. Just a teaser, taster.
And you're like, I often have a bit of a like dilemma with that one because I'm like, okay, that can't be one bag from this flight. That must be one that wasn't picked up from last flight.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, what happened to that person? Are they still in Edinburgh? Like, have they missed their flight, but their bag made it? Yeah. Or
they're about to have a great time.
Yeah. Or have they completely miscounted the amount of bags they should be picking up? Or are they at like that, what's it called? When you collect the stuff that's lost, stuff to declare.
Oh, yeah. Anything to declare.
Yeah, yeah. So they're like moaning, oh, my bag never showed up, and it's just spinning around with two completely different countries.
Or maybe they've never been on a flight before. They don't know the whole situation of you have to go to the carousel bit to pick up your bag.
So where do you think they are? In the hotel going, oh, where is the bag?
They're closed.
Yeah. yeah, they normally take too long.
Mm.
People also freak out at that. You've always got some big man that feels like it's his responsibility to ask any female around if they need a hand, which is nice, but at the same time, a bit patronising.
Yeah. You got that, love?
Yeah, that one. That guy.
Yeah. Are you, it's another interesting thing, are you ever tying anything onto your suitcase so to distinguish it?
Yes. I've got electrical tape in the Italy colours on my handles.
How common is that when flying to Italy?
Not that much, because in Italy they tend to just be absolute lunatics. So like they're just shouting at everyone saying, "That's my bag," and then coming over and it's not.
Yeah. so it's on the handle you've got.
Yeah, it's quite good. It's probably my dad's idea. But it was definitely my dad's idea.
Yeah.
I know, because obviously I have been on like magic trips and stuff. I know a lot of magicians / well, mainly kids entertainers that have modelling balloons around their handle, which is really funny when it comes out because people just kind of go, what? Not blown up. Like, it's not lasting long. Like, unblown up.
Yeah.
But like in lots of colours and people are just like, is this a clown? It's quite funny. And then there's the other people, and I think this is Italy, that completely cling film their bag. You seen that?
Oh, yeah. Like, what's that about?
Yeah, if the border control people want into it,
they've got to work for it.
That. But I think it's a whole conspiracy about them stealing stuff.
Right.
So,
they can see that.
They can see it's been opened.
Yeah, but in my opinion, right, so if I was like one of the people that would like randomly pick up bags to get checked, and I see one that's been like really wrapped, I'd be like, what are they hiding in there?
Yeah, you want to open.
Right, let's get that one open. They're up to no good.
Because we put locks on.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they've got a master key, haven't they?
Either a master key or they get bolt cutters. That's what I'm to ask.
Yeah, if they can't get it open.
Has yours ever been checked and searched?
I don't think so.
You'll know because they leave, well, in my situation, they left like a piece of paper inside saying your bag was searched.
I know.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm pretty sure we've got those master key things.
Mm, okay.
You know, like actual suitcase locks have like a key.
That's what I'm talking
about. But then why can't someone who wants in just buy one of those keys from some dodgy airport control guy?
Money to be made.
Yeah.
Yeah. But how are they getting like into the bags? The only way you're going to steal someone's stuff in their suitcase is if you're working at the airport.
Yeah.
So, like, he's going into the airport, opening up a bag and no one's looking, and doing a run.
I know, but if you wanted to, like, I suppose you could just cut it anyway.
Yeah.
If you wanted to steal it, like, if you were the early guy, you can just because it's basically just window shopping, isn't it?
Yeah.
When they come round.
I can't fancy that bag.
Yeah. Oh, it's good. Also, they've just bought that at the airport before they left.
There's tags on it.
What's your favourite airport you've been to? Do you have a favourite airport?
Favourite airport? I'm going to go proud and go Newcastle International. Yeah.
That's a lie. Because
I've been to the same airport, so pretty much like Geneva.
Because I could say Edinburgh. Heathrow. Really
Heathrow's all right. Yeah, I've been there a couple of times.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, but it's too big.
It's massive.
So when you come, like, say, like, Edinburgh and Newcastle, they're like reasonably small airports compared to Heathrow. Like, you know where everything is. You know, if you're on this end, you can get to that end in a certain amount of time and you're not going to be late for your flight. Whereas if you're in Heathrow and you end up in the wrong area,
oh, yeah,
then you're struggling.
Well, that's, it's got nothing on the likes of New York.
Yeah.
New York, you need like
JFK.
You need like a train to get from.
I think we did. So we went to Florida once and I can't remember which airport it was in. I think it might be Houston. But we were about to miss our flight because our flight, connecting flight, was delayed. So we got like a big, you know, one of the big buggies. You know, when Come Fly With Me, how he gets that buggy.
Yeah.
We had a buggy and we had this guy who's driving tagging us through. And he didn't have a horn on the buggy. So he was just shouting horn.
All right, he didn't shout like a word.
No, he was just shouting horn.
Yeah. Funny if he just made the noise.
Yeah, and that was one of the best experiences of my holiday. Probably really stressful for my parents, but I was like 10, so I didn't really understand the stress at that point.
No, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But New York's terrifying.
Yeah, again, New Yorkers were running to catch a flight from San Diego to.
It scares me. The border control in there scares me.
Well, in America, just in general.
Yeah, well, specifically that one, because it's. There's just like guys, so they do like your thumbprint and then your four fingers and then take a picture of
that's
you.
Right, yeah.
But like the people on the desks have absolutely no emotion.
Yeah.
So it's like
that's like
thumb, four fingers, look into here, right hand, thumb, and then you're like, if I get this wrong, I'm gonna get tackled by that guy that's waiting just there.
Yeah.
I seen a guy get tackled in New York. I don't even know what he was doing. I don't think he'd done anything wrong. I think he maybe stepped in the wrong direction type thing, out of line, and he just got taken out.
That's America.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, that's true. But the thing is, though, they must go through the same routine for however long their shift is, just saying the same thing. So you can imagine them not being so enthusiastic. I mean, they might start the shift. Put your thumb on there, pal.
I think it's an intimidation thing.
Yeah, it could be.
I think it's. Very.
Because then if you've got something to hide and you're guilty, you're going to be like really nervous.
Yeah. Well, the guy tried to do a joke to us in New York and I thought my dad was going to faint because he kind of went because you fill out these
immigration cards.
Yeah. So he's like, so we were going on to Sanibel, which is in Florida.
Right.
Or off Florida. And the guy was reading our forms and he did my dad's one and he was fine and he stood there, even though you're not really meant to stand about, he wanted to make sure everyone else got through as well. And the guy could see he was standing there but didn't say anything. And then he did mine and my mum's together because I was under 18 or under 21, still not. And he was like, and where are you going? My mum was like, oh, Sanibel. And he was like, his one says he's away to Dallas, Texas. But dead serious. He didn't that's crack his mouth. My dad was like, what? And then he's like, oh, no, I'm just joking. I was like, why have you done that?
That's an unnecessary level of stress.
Yeah, because my dad could have done something that resulted in a tackle.
Yeah. If he'd done that the other way around, he holds all the power there.
Yeah, yeah.
All the power.
Madness.
Well, you know when you're going through immigration, if you're going to France or Italy, probably in your case, the same people.
Yeah.
Do you try and speak to them in Italian?
I would never speak to an Italian passport control guy either. No. He's an intimidating man as well.
But you're not saying bonjour.
I'm not saying anything.
Merci.
I don't think anyone says anything.
No, I do.
He's normally sitting there drinking a black coffee. Occasionally smoking a fag.
Yeah.
and looking at you he kind of expects you to be a criminal. And then looks pleasantly surprised when you're not.
Are you still talking about border control here, or just Italians in general?
Well, in Napoli, the border control guys are that guy.
Okay.
Out like a cartoon.
Yeah.
Kind of just picks up, looks at you, looks at the picture, slams it back and slides it under the glass.
Mm-hmm.
No words.
You're not trying to make any friendly chit-chat.
Well, no, he would probably just look at you like, why have you spoken to me?
Do you reckon they get trained to be miserable or intimidating? Or does that just
the
personality they have
when applying
for that job?
I don't reckon they need to.
No.
The ones in Britain are generally quite friendly.
Yeah.
If there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Although you've got that new thing now.
Well, the scanny one.
Yeah. So you don't actually speak to anybody.
But my experience, it never works. So you always end up with like somebody coming up to you and goes, no, I have to do this and I do that and I do that. And you end up speaking to them for longer than like than you would be if there's just someone there.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
There we are.
What's the best airline you've been on?
Most of the ones I go on are like just the cheap ones.
Yeah.
To Europe.
Yeah.
The ones to America are okay.
Yeah.
My favourite one was British Airways.
No, they're the only ones that understand.
Yeah. But I've never been in more than an hour with them. Because it was just London.
Yeah, I think I've only flown British Airways a couple of times. But yeah, it is good.
Yeah, the American ones have all obviously the TVs in your headrest.
Yeah, so the first time you get a TV on an airplane.
When you're young,
it's the best day of your life. It's the best day of your life.
I think that's changed now.
Yeah.
Or in everybody's bag, so no one's that bothered about like being restricted.
To do what's on there.
Yeah, which are normally heavily cut because they have to be suitable for like PG.
Mm-hmm.
So like I watched Wolf of Wall Street and like only half the film was in it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was only an hour and a half. Mental.
Yeah. all the best bits are out.
Yeah, exactly. I had to watch it again. I was like, it's a different film.
Be interesting if the parents hadn't seen that film before and they were like watching with their kids on the plane.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they really enjoyed that film. We'll watch it again when we're home.
It's twice as long. Ah, it must be extended cut. That's fine.
Some shocking there.
Yeah.
Anything else about going on holiday?
Probably.
Yeah. It is just what we're trying to say is it's a stressful time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a massive topic.
Yeah, we've nowhere near scratched the surface on it. I think there'll be another episode.
Another episode on when you're actually in the country.
Yeah.
Because we've only landed.
Yes. Yeah, the whole visa check thing.
Yeah.
That's a big, big issue.
That'll be more prevalent soon. Because even Europe, you'll have to do that, won't you?
Yeah. Now we're getting more political.
Maybe. Depends how this all goes. I don't really get the whole Australia fascination.
Me neither. See, my brother's there right now.
Mm.
And I it just doesn't appeal to me.
No, neither. Just it.
Like New Zealand, yes. Australia. Nah, take it or leave it.
Yeah, probably go to New Zealand before I went to Australia.
Yeah.
Just makes no sense. It's such a strange place.
It is. Everything that's there.
Obviously thinking of them now, because they've got like fires and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
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 But yeah, it's quite a dangerous country to be in.
Yeah. I mean, actually, because my sister lived there, she was like travelling around there for like a year. And like, I don't think they saw anything too horrific.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that you can come across stuff that is horrific.
Yeah, the stories are probably not for the fires, but like the stories of wildlife and stuff are probably exaggerated. Spiders.
Everything you have in other countries just seems bigger and more dangerous.
Yeah, you have to check your shoes.
Oh yeah.
You have to like
check under the toilet seat.
Yeah, come on. Like, why would I want to do that?
Yeah. Experience that in Mexico where the guy like found a snake
just chilling
like outside like one of the bedrooms.
Mm.
I was like, oh, that's not good.
No.
I saw one of them, is it black widow spiders or are they the same as the redbacks? I don't know. But I saw one of those while I was playing football.
Right.
Like on the bench, we're sitting on the bench.
Where?
So, you know.
No, where? In, you've not been in Australia, have you?
No, this is Mexico.
Oh,
this is
Mexico. Mexico. Yeah, you're in Mexico.
So, like, it was on the bench.
Right.
You know, it was on the, so we were sitting on the bench, like, having to come off playing football, and the guy goes, oh, look, Black Widow, and he stomps on it.
Cool as you like.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. That could have killed me.
Yeah. Most things can, though, that are in that country.
Yeah.
They've got all the animals that, like, only could have evolved there.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a lot of animals in Australia that aren't animals anywhere else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, evolution kind of went, oh, there's no need for this anywhere else. We don't need kangaroos. Like,
stick them in Australia.
Yeah. The platypus. Yeah. What was evolution doing there?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Some weird, weird stuff. Yeah.
Seen a really nice video, actually, about the fires, because
it's not a nice video.
But, like, it was a nice video that is related, where there was a koala in the fires that was just like, don't know what to do.
Mm.
And it was like screaming. And this woman just like ripped her top off and I think that was to,
is that related?
No, I think that was to stop
the smoke.
Yeah. And then she just ran in and grabbed the koala and ran out in a burning forest.
And this was videoed?
Yeah, yeah, it's on video. It's a really nice video.
Because I'm as a cynic.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Thinking, right, I'm going to plant this koala in this bit of fire that I can easily get to.
I mean, maybe. Like, no, she's famous. I don't know. But it was a nice video.
Yeah, there you go. If you're listening to this in Australia, which I know at least one person
don't run into a burning forest.
Yeah. But if you do see a koala,
think about it.
Yeah. And that's our advice. Some good advice there, Dan.